نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين اتخذوا مسجدا ضرارا وكفرا وتفريقا بين المؤمنين وإرصادا لمن حارب الله ورسوله وليحلفن إن أردنا إلا الحسنى والله يشهد إنهم لكاذبون لا تقم فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أسألك رضاك والجنة وأعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار وقال أبو حنيفة رحمة الله عليه أحب الصالحين ولست منهم لعل الله يرزقني صلاحا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited verses 107 and 108 of Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is in the 10th juz of the Quran Kareem, and it is a famous chapter that commences without Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The background of the revelation of these verses is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, one person by the name of Abu Amir, he was commonly known as the Rahib, the Christian priest. He would come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and discuss issues about Islam. Trying to understand Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him all the answers to his objections. In spite of that, he expressed dissatisfaction and he started criticizing Islam. So Abu Amir, he told to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the person that is on falsehood between yourself and myself, may Allah distance him from his family, friends and associates. Now every war that took place after that, Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, trenches, every war that took place after that, he helped the enemies of Islam against Islam, against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. Finally, in the Battle of Hunain, when there was a confrontation with the tribe of Hawazin, he became completely despondent and he knew, he could see it very clearly that Islam is on the rise. Out of anger and out of frustration, he left and he went away to Sham. Now in Sham, he got in touch with the Byzantine ruler. And he told that Byzantine ruler about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the Sahaba, about Islam. And he motivated the Byzantine ruler to launch an attack on Madinatul Munawwara. At the same time, he also wrote to some of his friends, the Munafiqeen in Madinah Munawwara. And he told to them, that I have spoken to a Byzantine ruler, is about to launch an attack on Madinah Munawwara. You people internally, you also need to help us and assist us. There will be an attack externally, and internally we also require a revolution. There must be a revolt internally to help us and assist us. So for that, you'll need to put up a center, an institution, which need to be filled up with weapons and with anything that could help you all. So Munafiqeen, they consulted with each other and they hatched a plan, a plot. They decided to put up a building in the name of a masjid. They went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we live in Quba, there is a masjid in Quba, it is the first masjid that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam established when he came from Makkah Mukarrama. But that masjid is a bit far away from where we stay. They are elderly people, weak people. It's difficult for them to travel from so far to come to a masjid. So So in our area, our locality, we want to put up a masjid. Secondly, that Masjid al-Quba, the first masjid, it is small, it is not spacious, we wish to put up a big masjid. He convinced Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we would want you to come and have the official opening of that masjid. You would perform salat there, and the idea was to mislead the people. When Allah the Rasul would perform salat there, the people would really think that a masjid, they will never think that it is anything else. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was planning of going to Tabuk. So he told to them, I'm going to Tabuk on my return. I will come and perform salat there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Tabuk, and on the way, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed these verses. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا دِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Those people who made a masjid, in the name of a masjid. But three qualities have been mentioned of that. Firstly, that building that they put up in the name of a masjid, it is dirar. It is harmful. It is detrimental. Second, tafriqan bayna al-mu'mineen. The purpose of that particular building is to bring about division against the, among the mu'mineen. Third, irsadan liman harab Allah wa rasoola. It is an institution to fight with Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when they put up that masjid, and when they presented it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَحْلِفُلْنَا إِنْ أَرَدَنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى. They took oaths, qasam, tried to convince Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we put up this building and our intention is only husna. Our intention is only good. But Allah says that most definitely they are liars. On the other side, there is another masjid. Masjid al-Quba, the first masjid which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established. While there were three qualities of this masjid which the munafiqeen established, equally there were three qualities of Masjid al-Quba. The first is, it was based on it being beneficial for the Muslimin. It was based on ikhlas. It was based on sincerity. Second, it was meant to complement the Muslims, bring about love, unity and harmony among the Muslims. And third, it's an institution to promote the name of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the three qualities of Masjid al-Dirar, completely opposite to that is the first masjid, Masjid al-Quba. And that is where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, La masjidul ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin haqqu an taquma fi. That the first masjid, which is based on taqwa, is more deserving that you go to that masjid. The other masjid that is established by the kuffar with evil intentions, la taqum fihi abada. Never ever go and stand there. When these verses were revealed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sent a few sahaba, and among them was Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to go and demolish this masjid. Most respected elders and friends, we talk about clash of ideologies. Two masjids, and for one masjid, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about three qualities, and another masjid, also three qualities. The first one, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala exposed the evil intentions of the munafiqeen, dirara. Their intention was to cause harm. They have evil intentions. They didn't have ikhlas and sincerity in establishing a masjid. From this we understand, whenever a person wishes to do anything, you have ikhlas, you have sincerity, you have lillahiyat. You did solely for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sometime a person may do an act, apparently it may look good, but the intention is bad, that is rejected in the sight of Allah. In fact, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about people performing salat. Outwardly, intention is to perform salat, meanwhile, you want to show the people. So outwardly, the good action, but because it lacks intention, it is not for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it is rejected. Second, when a person does something with ikhlas and sincerity, there's always barakat in it. And if a person has evil intentions, there won't be any barakat. Now, this is clearly exemplified in the Masjid in Quba and Masjid al-Dirar. The Masjid al-Dirar, it hardly was established and it has been demolished. And the Masjid in Quba, simple masjid, but based on ikhlas, sincerity and taqwa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, 2 rakat salat you read there, you get the sawab of Umrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, twice a week you should go to Masjid al-Quba. And because of that, from then right up till today, more than 1,500 years ago, millions and millions of Muslims, they go to Masjid al-Quba just to go read 2 rakat salat. That is the barakat of the ikhlas of establishing a masjid. Nobody even talks about Masjid al-Dirar. And doing something with ikhlas and sincerity, like a foundation. Strong foundation, you can put up a building on that. And if you have a weak foundation, you put up a building over a period of time, that masjid, that the building will collapse. That is why it's very important, first thing we learn, that whatever we do with ikhlas, we do with sincerity. Second thing we learn is, when there is a clash of philosophies and ideologies, what do we do? How do we deal with it? So if somebody has a completely opposite philosophy and ideology, somebody completely different, that is completely opposed to our fundamental beliefs, our aqaid, then we don't need to compromise. See, one was Masjid al-Quba, Masjid that is based on taqwa, the other one is Masjid al-Dirar. See, it wasn't like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compromised and said, okay, that this is also a masjid, that's also a masjid. That masjid was based on evil intention. Is completely a different philosophy and ideology. Today, unfortunately, everybody is talking about unity, 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 even if it means for us to start compromising our basic beliefs and ideologies. Where we know people have completely different philosophies, completely against Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some philosophy that is completely inconsistent with our beliefs, we don't need to compromise on that. We remain firm on our beliefs, we live with those beliefs and we die with those beliefs. Nowadays we also have to be very careful that some people, they would have completely beliefs that are completely wrong, but just to make inroads among our people, they will claim that they have same beliefs like us. They make inroads and then they slowly start indoctrinating their beliefs among us. We need to be careful and we need to be guarded on that. And if somebody has the same beliefs like us, but they're doing different works, contributing in a different way, we need to help and assist and contribute to one another. We need to complement with one another. I told it so many times. There are 3 missions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is da'wat and tabligh. Second, tazkiyah. And the other is ta'aleem, education. Now each one of these 3 missions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are equally important. It is incorrect to have an extremist view in where a person says that we must only worry about tazkiyah. Don't worry about ta'aleem and don't worry about tabligh. That is incorrect. If a person happens to say that and adopt that view, that means he's got his view is not in conformity to the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did all 3. So, as an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also do all 3. And sometimes we can't actively take part in one, then we're actively involved in one, we're not actively involved in the other, but as long as we support it and we complement it. And when a person, if whatever he's actively involved in, but he supports the other, then he's actually strengthening his own base. If a person is involved in ta'alim and education, but he supports tazkiyah, purification of the soul, he also supports da'wat and tabligh, that helps him in his ta'alim and education. If a person in the work of da'wat and tabligh, he knows that it's important, actively involved in that, but he doesn't deny the importance of ta'alim, he doesn't deny the importance of tazkiyah, then that will actually enhance his work of da'wat and tabligh. It's a very balanced and moderate view that we need to adopt. And unfortunately, some people, they have very extreme views in which you must do this, you mustn't do that. That is incorrect. And that is not in conformity to the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, at the same time, we will find that at this time and point in our country, mashallah, there's so many great mashayikh that are coming. People who are adhering, propagating the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, propagating correct aqaid and beliefs. Different ulama, different mashayikh, whether they come from the Chishtiya point of view, whether they come from the Naqshbandiya point of view, whether from the Saharwardiya point of view, or whether some other point of view, whatever it is, they're all from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These are all mashayikh that have correct aqaid, have correct beliefs. And we need to complement one another. All the different mashayikh who adhere to the Quran and ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like a garden. But have different flowers. When a person goes to a garden and he admires all the flowers, he may be attracted more to one, but he's not going to condemn the other. So likewise, with the different mashayikh that we have, their attitude themselves, they complement one another. And for us, we admire all of them. We may be attracted to one, we may not be as attracted to the other. So whoever is attracted to another flower, they will enjoy the scent and the sight of that flower. But you're not going to condemn the flower. You're not going to speak anything negative about it. So at this time and point, mashallah, alhamdulillah, in our country we have so many ulama, so many mashayikh, and try to benefit from all of them to the best of our ability. And at the same time, we need to complement one another. It is only by having this kind of attitude that we'll benefit, we'll understand the ruhaniyat, we'll understand that what is the Ahlullah and what are the Ahlullah alike. Alhamdulillah, with the fazl and the grace of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that in the coming week also here in Masjid al-Salihin and in around Durban, among the many mashayikh that will be here, one is Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum. Very, very great, profound personality. He's my ustad and ustad of hundreds of ulama. And probably maybe thousands of them that are spread throughout the world. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahab is an astute academic. And for more than 50, 60 years, teaching ahadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fiqh. And those that studied under him would bear witness and testimony to the fact of his great brilliance and academic works. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahib is also the Khalifa of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. And those people who have seen Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, they, when they see Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, they say that he's almost just a replica, and it reminds people of the personality of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. So we have these great personalities that are going to be coming in our midst, and we should take advantage of the opportunity, sit in their gatherings, sit in their talks. Just by looking at them, see what comes out. If more than what they speak, it is what comes out from the heart and what affects the heart. Hazrat Mufti Sahib will be here in Sherwood for next week. Every morning after Fajr, there'll be about 10 minutes program. But more important than that, for almost about 50 years, Hazrat Mufti Sahib wakes up about 2:30 in the morning. And whether it is on Safar, whether it is not on Safar, all the time his tahajjud is there, and dua and zikr. And wherever he goes, he tries to establish these kind of majalises. So I would urge each and every one of you, and pass the message over, that if you all want to see the real essence of what the Ahlullah do, and how they turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and how the light and the noor of Iman enters into your heart, sit in these kind of gatherings. This is a rare opportunity, you all won't get it, any amount of prize will never fetch you the value of these things. So I would urge each and every one of you, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahib will be coming, so even meet up with Hazrat, very flexible personality, sit in the gathering of Hazrat Mufti Sahib, and in the morning gatherings, that 3:30, inshallah, in the Darul Iftah, about 3:30, he'll be having the zikr gatherings, the dua gatherings. So come over there, benefit from there, wherever the talks are, the schedule is also on the masjid boards. So try to follow that programs. And inshallah, next week, Thursday, there won't be a zikr majlisya, Islam majlisya. It will be in Mallinson Road Masjid. And on Friday also, beside the other program, Friday, Shab Guzari. That will also be, because Hazrat is very closely affiliated to the work of Dawat and Tabligh, and all the akabirs of Dawat and Tabligh have greatest amount of respect for Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahib. So I would urge every one of you to take benefit and benefit from the akabirin. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah used to say, "Uhibbu salihin walastu minhum." I love the salihin, the pious people, walastu minhum. This is the humbleness and humility of Imam Abu Hanifa, that he said that I'm not from among them, although he was the fountainhead of all of them. But uhibbu salihin walastu minhum la'alla Allah yarzuquni salaha. That maybe Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, with the barakat of staying with the salihin, with the pious people, Allah will create the salahiyat and that ability in me. You know, just to end up with this, the benefit of how you stay with the pious people and how you benefit from the ruhaniyat of these pious people. So there was a debate once between, in India you get those trains and have that first class and the third class. So a first class told to a third class, I'm more superior than you. See my seats, air condition, my price. I'm more superior than you. And see your seats. Your seats are torn. There's no even air condition. And so dirty. So I'm more superior than you. So a third class told to a first class, I fully acknowledge that you are more superior than me. Your seats are better than mine. You've got the AC, the price also more. And all the rich and wealthy people, they sit in your compartment. In my compartment, it's only the poor people, those people, some people who don't even have tickets maybe sit there too. So, but there's one benefit, one thing I can tell you, that you see the third compartment, that's a coach that's attached to a first class compartment. And what is the destination and the final journey of the first class? Because I'm attached to that, wherever your journey will also my journey, I'll be the same place. Likewise, we know our weaknesses, we know our shortcomings, but attach ourselves to the Ahlullah. We are like in the third class, but let us attach ourselves to a coach of the first class. What is their journey? Inshallah, we will also reach our destination. One Sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Matasa, when Qiyamah will come?" So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Ma adatta laha?" What did you prepare for Qiyamah? "Ya Rasulullah, I didn't prepare anything. The only thing is that I have love for Allah, the Rasul." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba." That a person is with that person with who he loves. So we love the akabirin, we love the ahlullah, we love the pious people. Their hearts are filled and illuminated with the light of nur and iman in it. So we love them, and with the barakat of them, if they get the forgiveness of Allah, with the barakat of them, they have the nur of iman in their heart. Inshallah, with their barakat, inshallah, we'll also have that. We'll get the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grants all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.